to say a word of prayer, and then after that we commence. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you tonight for your faithfulness, your goodness, and your mercy. We are grateful to you for your love and for all the blessings you bestow on us. We thank you for the privilege to be counted among the living. We know you are not done with us yet. Wherever we have gotten to in life, we trust that you will bless us in a special way. We pray the Holy Spirit, you move in our midst this evening and let your power come down. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 All right. So, people of God, this evening, I want to welcome you one more time to tonight's session. It's going to be a very impactful session, very transforming. And I pray that you come here with an open heart and an open mind to learn. We all learn together. We ask questions. We try to help ourselves and move on. The topic for tonight is the 10 mindsets of the rich. I want to share with you the 10 mindsets of the rich. So I want you to pick your diary, pick your tablet, get ready to write something down. We all want to share it together. All right. Now, I want to start with this presentation by telling you a story. When I was in the university, I got to a point where after I had entered the university, I think the first semester and the second semester, probably level 100 and maybe level 200 as well, I observed closely that I was doing very well in terms of, you know, I was one of the few people who were privileged to, you know, to stay in the house of a pastor. In other words, I lived with a pastor all the days of my life from infancy. My dad, of course, was a pastor, is a pastor. So I lived with such a person in a Christian home. You know, you are taught many things. You are trained on many Christian principles. We grow up knowing the Lord because you are forced to at least attend devotions almost every morning, every dawn, whether you like it or not. So is that kind of thing had so much impact on me. It's a positive thing. And I always thank God for my parents, especially my dad, who is alive. And he's gone through a lot, paying my fees and all that. It's not been easy, but he's done very well. And I really appreciate him for that. But when I went to level 200, got to level 300, I realized that among all the things my dad taught me in my home, or I mean in our home, I realized that there's one thing he didn't teach me. And I was, before I left the university, I was always complaining and I was always talking about it. Why is it that, you know, our dad did not, you know, take time to teach us this thing? And what am I talking about? I'm talking about financial education. Financial education. I realized that in the home, one of the things that was lacking was talking about money. Talking about money. I did not have any knowledge about money. I did not know how money works. I did not understand the language of money. So I realized that at a point, even though I was entering my early adulthood, I realized that I was lacking a lot. The simple things I needed to use my own money to do, I would have to depend on somebody or depend on my parents. And that thing really was not so good, not synced down well with me. I was not excited at all. So when I was leaving the university, I told myself that God helping me, I will try as much as possible not to repeat this mistake. I will make sure that my children, after getting all the other spiritual things and getting all things done, they need to also know what money is, know what building wealth is. Because I came to understand that one of the reasons why Jesus died was to take away poverty and give us the riches from heaven. So if Jesus died that poverty will not be poor, but we will become rich, then why is it that I'm not seeing the richness and the riches in my life? So I decided that henceforth, I will not, go by that standard and limit myself to all this. So in living in the pastor's house, I got all the spiritual information, every other thing, but I realized that money was not a subject we spoke about. And there was one thing I also observed. I'm not trying to disgrace my father, but I realized that anytime money was an issue, anytime money was, you needed money, realized that there was a little bit of, tension some way, somehow, even though many other things were done without even we knowing. But the few times I saw that when you talk about money, money becomes an issue. So I realized that money is not just currency. Money is a very important thing that we need to know and have so much knowledge about. And you cannot afford to not to have anything knowing about knowledge, about money. Money is very important. So this evening's meeting, we want to talk about the 10 mindsets of the rich. And my objectives are very simple. At the end of this few minutes we spend here, my objective is that every mindset here will be influenced positively, especially about the subject of wealth. And also that we will be empowered for fruitfulness, all right? We'll be empowered for fruitfulness. And then also build capacity for business and wealth creation. So those are the key things that are, those are the key things that are the objectives for this very important meeting tonight, to influence mindset positively and to empower people for fruitfulness, to build capacity for business and wealth creation. One of the things the Lord spoke to me about was that the month of September, October and November, where it's a season of fruitfulness. It's a season of fruitfulness. So those of us who are on the Healing Room WhatsApp platform, there is a scripture we announced that this thing is called Parabba. It's called Parabba. And this Parabba is not any mystic word, but it is just a Hebrew word found in Genesis chapter 35, verse 11. So I want to quickly read that one, then I will proceed. I want to quickly read that one and I will proceed. Are you following me? If you are following me, just drop something, drop a yes, drop a yes. Let me know if you are following me and you can hear me also very well. If you are following me, you can hear me very well, drop a yes. Drop a yes, drop a yes, drop a yes, drop a yes. Powerful, 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 powerful. All right. So let's read from Genesis chapter 35, verse 11. Genesis 35, verse 11. I'm reading from the King James Version of the Holy Bible. Genesis 35, 11. And God said unto him, that him is talking about Jacob, all right? And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. Amen. So this is somebody's prophetic word. God said unto Jacob, put your name there. God said unto Daphne. God said unto AJ. God said unto Eunice. He said, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. Why? He says that a nation and a company of nations shall come out of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. Somebody listening to me, God is about to do something in your life that will shock the world and that will shock even the nations of the world. Amen. If you look at this scripture carefully, God spoke unto Jacob specifically to be fruitful and to multiply, to be fruitful. These words are not the same. If you are being fruitful, it's different from you are multiplying. Now, this is a Hebrew word. The word fruitful, it comes from the Hebrew word para, para. That word para has to do with bearing fruit, has to do with bearing fruit. Just like a mango tree will bear a mango fruit. So that ability to bear fruit, that is what we call para. So when you plant and then the tree is not bearing fruit, you realize that it's frustrating and it's almost like a waste of time, a waste of investment, a waste of resources. So the Lord spoke to Jacob and said and told Jacob that para, in other words, bear fruit. So this evening's meeting, there is an anointing to bear fruit that is going to be released upon you. Even as I speak now, that anointing has already been released. Then God did not only tell Jacob to para, but God also said to Jacob to rabbah. That word rabbah, multiply, comes from the word rabbah. And when we say rabbah is talking about abundance. We are talking about abundance. Or increase, abundance, exceeding, great, you know, something that is large, abundance. So once you bear fruit, and then the next thing is abundance. Because not every tree that bears fruit has abundance. There are some trees that bear fruit, but there is no abundance. They just bear some one or two or three fruits, and that is all. But there are some fruits. There are some trees that when they bear fruit, just the view of it, the sight of it alone is a definition of abundance. And I'm praying that tonight, you will not only bear fruit, but you bear fruit abundantly. That is what we call the para rabbah. And this anointing, the para rabbah anointing is here tonight. And I'm praying that by the time I am done with this, you know, short meeting, the para rabbah anointing will overflow. You will rub on you in the mighty name of Jesus. Some people, you are not bearing fruit at all. You are not bearing fruit in any aspect of your life. But trust me, after this meeting, that anointing will come upon you and you begin to bear fruit. Not only that, but you bear fruit abundantly. Bearing fruit abundantly. That is what we call the para rabbah. So tonight, you are here for empowerment. You are here for empowerment. Trust me, the Lord is about to do something in your life. Now, let's begin business. Everyone under the sound of my voice, there you need to understand that there are five dimensions of education you need to have in your life. Everybody here, in your lifetime, at least, you should have this very important five, I call it the five dimensions of education that everybody must have. The first one is what I call the personal education. Personal education means that you should know yourself. You should know yourself. You should know who you are. There is some aspect of your life that you know. There is another aspect of your life that is not known to you. There is another aspect of your life that is unknown, another one that is hidden. There is another one that is mysterious that nobody knows except God. So you need to understand that in life, if you really want to be very successful, if you really want to make it, you want to do well in life, at least these five different education you should have. The first one is personal education. You should know yourself, know your strength, know your weaknesses, know the things you are passionate about. There are people who don't know themselves. And especially if you are going to do business, if you are going to build wealth, and if you are going to enter into any venture, at least you should have a personal education. Number two is what I call the academic education. Academic education has to do with at least having some form of school knowledge, because you know, not everybody
has attended school. Yes, going to school is good, but going to school will not give you money. I realized that at the university, when I was complaining that my father did not talk about money, we did not have any discussion or teachings about money in the home, I realized that even in the school, this thing was not taught. How to handle money was not taught in the university. How to handle money was not taught at the senior high school. So I realized that even though you go to school, it is good to go to school. At least you'll be able to read and write and make some logical, you know, reasonings. It is very good. But then academic education alone is not enough. But you need academic education too. So when once you are able to get to your junior high school, you make an effort to do something again by attending a senior high school. Once you are done, you make another effort to go to the tertiary. Even in the tertiary, don't just end at your first degree. Make effort to learn something again, do something again. Build your academic life, because it has a way of bringing so much success in your life. The third other education you must have is what I call the marketplace education. Now, this marketplace education is the kind of education you get from the marketplace. It's the kind of education you get not at the school, not at home, but this kind of education, you only get it at the job site, at the workplace, at the marketplace. So if you are applying for a job, usually they will tell you that we need 3 years experience, or we need 5 years working experience. And so anytime you see such advert or such information, it is just to tell you that there is a certain level of education they need, because in your CV, you indicate you attended the university, attended a certain school, blah, blah, blah. You did all that. But in addition, they want a certain education. So the company you are trying to work in is looking for people who are educated in customer service, people who are educated in handling projects, people who are educated in handling internal controls and things like that. So you need to understand that there is a certain education that will only come at the marketplace. So no matter what you do, you need to understand that you must have an intention to work. Working gives you an experience. That experience you get at the workplace is the marketplace education. And because people don't have this marketplace education, some people think that, you know, life is all about just knowing yourself, going to school. When you do marketplace education or you have this experience, you will now appreciate what it means to work under authority, what it means to meet deadline, what it means to write report, write minute, what it means to submit budget, submit, you know, payment vouchers, and do the due diligence for financial processes and financial protocols. You go through all these experiences. You understand what it means to be rebuked or to be queried for non-performance. All these things are part of the marketplace education. Now, when you don't have marketplace education, you struggle in life because you need it at some point in your life. Now, the fourth education everyone must have is what I call the spiritual education. After getting all the personal academic marketplace, you need to get your spiritual education. You need to know who Jesus Christ is. You need to know what God has done for you. You need to understand what we mean by salvation. You need to know that this world we see is not just a physical world, but it is being controlled by another spiritual world. You must have the knowledge and the information about your environment. There are people who are so good academically, so good with their personal ambitions, and so good with their career, but they are weak in their spiritual life because they don't have any information. So the way to educate yourself spiritually is to join a Bible-believing church where the Bible is taught, where the Bible is taught very well, and it will also have a personal devotional life where you are able to read the Bible for yourself. So understanding these things has a way to propel you to the next level. Then the final thing, the final dimension of education that everybody must have is what I call the financial education. Everybody needs financial education. And this is the kind of education that was missing in my home. That was the kind of education that was missing that I couldn't get. But some way, somehow, I cannot keep on blaming my father that my father did not teach me, because the past is past. The future is today. Anything I do today is I'm doing it into the future. So it's important that everyone takes advantage of his or her future today and make sure that whatever is past, you are not going to repeat it this time around. Am I talking to somebody? So in view of the financial education and the personal education, that is why we have met this evening. And I want to just talk to you about the 10 mindsets of the rich, how the rich people think. And then when we are done, I believe that you'll be a blessing. So before we move on to the first 10, the first mindset, I want us to look at a scripture from the Bible. A scripture from the Bible, and we are opening our scriptures to 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. It's a very long passage of scripture, but I believe that reading it is worth it. It's very exciting, and it's a very beautiful story that you will love. So please join me as we read this Bible story together. There are some lessons we are going to pick from it, and please take note of it. Pay attention to the things we are reading on your screen. So 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, I read. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." People of God, I believe you follow this story very well. This is a prophet. This is a prophet who is not a fake prophet, a genuine prophet whose master was Elisha. And once the master was Elisha, it suggests that when Elijah was even around, this man was alive, because Elijah handed over to Elisha, and Elisha himself was part of the company of the prophet. Only that he took over from Elijah. So once the man was part of the company of the prophet, it means that the man had served Elijah and is now serving Elisha. However, this man committed one of the biggest mistakes in his life. And what was the mistake? The biggest mistake he committed was that he was to be a prophet, but yet very poor. He was a very powerful prophet, but powerfully poor. You can be anointed with the Holy Spirit. You can be speaking in tongues. You can be going to church. You can be a pastor. You can be a church leader, a chorister. You can be everything you can think of, and yet you can be powerfully poor. So this man was anointed. This man could hear. I sometimes ask myself, how is it possible that a prophet who can hear God's voice, a prophet who can see the visions of God, a prophet who can know the timings of God. In fact, the prophet will come and tell us that this is the season we are in. How is it that the prophet himself could not enjoy the blessings? And he was owing. He was in serious debt. So much that the wife complained that the creditor was coming to take the two sons away as slaves. So this man died as a poor man. The prophet died as a poor prophet. He died as a poor prophet. And at the end of the day, disgrace was coming to the family. I am praying for you under the sound of my voice. May you never die as a poor man or as a poor woman. May you never die as a powerful poor person. Oh, am I talking to somebody here? Yeah. May you not die like that. So I have come to understand, anytime I read this scripture and I see that this man is a prophet, I realize that being a prophet does not mean automatically you'll be rich. Being a Christian does not mean automatically you'll be rich. Being filled with the Holy Spirit and you being the most prayerful person does not mean that you'll be the most richest person, because money does not respond to anointing. Money does not respond to prayer. Money responds to principles. Money does not respond to power. Money responds to principles. Money does not respond to Christianity. Money responds to principles. So whether you are a Muslim, you are an atheist, you are a Jew, or you are whatever, as long as you apply the principles of money, money will come looking for you. So I have decided that I will not just be a prophet, I will not just be a pastor, but I will be someone who is powerfully rich. Am I talking to somebody? So I have, you see, sometimes when we are talking about some of these things, some Christians think that you have become so carnal. When you talk about money, they feel that, oh, as for this one, he has become carnal. These days, he only talks about money. He has become so fleshly and worldly. Who told you that the gospel, even Jesus, there were people like Rhoda, who were, and Salome and co, who were sponsoring, who were partnering the ministry of Jesus. Jesus Ministry International was partnered by some women. They were sowing seed. They were giving Jesus money and the apostles to support the work of ministry. So supporting the work of ministry did not begin today. It's even before Jesus' time, it was there. So poverty is a mindset. Riches and wealth is a mindset. Prosperity is a mindset. It is in the mind. Am I talking to somebody? It is in the mind. So tonight, my objective is that your mindset shall be transformed. That is one of the prayers I'm praying, that our mindset shall be transformed positively, so that we will begin to understand some of these things. Because the reason why some people are poor is not because they were born into a poor family, but because even whilst growing, the mindset of poverty has not left them. So you can be born in a rich family, but if you don't have a good mindset, the riches will leave you. You can be born in a poor family. If you have a good mindset, the poverty can leave you. So it is not about where you were born or whose family you were born in. It's about having a mindset that is positive and transforming that mindset. Are we together? So a mindset is a person's way of thinking and their opinions. A mindset is a person's general attitude and the way they think about things. The way they think about things. The way you opinionate about issues. The way you think about wealth, about poverty. That is what we call mindset. That is what we call mindset. And let me shock you with this first statement. The rich think alike, irrespective of their background, continent, age, sex, color, nation, culture. All rich people think the same way. Yeah. Every rich person you meet, there are some general mindset rich people have. And there are general mindset also the poor have. And whether the rich man is in Ghana or in Cote d'Ivoire or South Africa, when you bring all these rich men together and you begin to interact with them, you will realize that the way they think is the same. I'm telling you, you realize that the way they think is the same. Unfortunately, it is said that the number of rich people in the world is below 5%. When we talk about millionaires are below 5%. And then all the other people are in the 95%. I am praying that after this evening, certain things will change. You see, that look at the third point. Any difference between the poor and the rich is in their mindset. All right? Any difference you see between the rich and the poor is in their mindset. You see, so that is why tonight we want to take our time to look at the 10 mindset of the rich. Because I believe that after praying, you must take action. We have done 40 days praying and praying. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. A man's faith without works is dead. The Bible said it, that faith without works is dead. So if you have faith and you have no works, your faith is a dead faith. You need to, in fact, you need to, how do you call it, convince us that you have faith just by your works. So you need to take responsibility. You need to take responsibility of your own life. Nobody here listening to me is below the age of 16 or 18 years. So you cannot blame your father or your mother for bringing you into this world, into a rich family or a poor family. Nobody can do that. You must take responsibility. Unfortunately, when you deal with students and you ask the students, oh, how was your exams? Oh, sir, I passed the exams. I got 90%. And that is usually the story when they pass. But when they fail, you say, my teacher failed me. So in this world, when people succeed, they take responsibility. But when they fail, they begin to shift the blame to their grandfathers and their grandmothers and the family they were born in and the fact that they are in Ghana. And so because you are in Ghana, you cannot make it. Don't ever say this ever in your life, that because you are in Ghana or because you are in Zambia or because you are in Africa, you cannot make it. Where you are does not guarantee you make it. If you are still having a very negative mindset, where you are, you can make it if you have a positive mindset. So this evening, I want us to just begin to look at the 10 ways rich people think. And after that, we will interact with it. Are you ready for it? Are you ready? Are you excited about this? Are you excited about this? Are you ready? So let's look at the first thing. Number one, they ask empowering questions. The rich ask empowering questions. Yes, whilst the poor ask these empowering questions. So instead of saying, why am I where I am? You ask, how can I get to where I want to be? These questions are not the same. When somebody says, why am I where I am now? Why is it that I am still where I am? That question is a question. It's a good question. Yes, you have asked the question, but at the end of the day, you are still asking a question about the reason why you are still where you are. Even though sometimes such a question can help you answer questions about the future, but the most empowering question is when you ask yourself questions like, how can I get out from where I am today? How can I become a millionaire? How can I start my business? How can I start my master's degree? How can I get that certificate? How can I get that professional qualification? So while the rich are always asking themselves empowering questions, poor people always ask themselves disempowering questions. So you need to have this mindset where from today, always make sure you are asking yourself empowering questions. I've been telling people around me that instead of saying, I don't have money, I rather say, I need money, or I need more money. Instead of saying, I don't have money is a pronouncement, it's a confession. And anything you confess with your words, with your lips, with your tongue, it is likely to manifest. So instead of saying, I don't have money, rather, why don't you say, I need more money? Because the more you say, I need more money, you are going to have more money. And the more you say, I don't have money, you are also not going to have money. So instead of asking disempowering questions, ask empowering questions, because that is how the rich people do it. Number two, they focus on increasing their net worth. The rich focus on increasing their net worth. Yeah. Whilst the others think about their salary. So whilst the rich people are thinking about how do I increase my net worth, the poor people are thinking about their salary. So rich people are thinking about how do I get more money? How do I get more money? Rather, the poor people are always thinking about their salary. Understand that most rich people are not working for salaries. And I repeat, most of the rich guys and rich ladies around are not working for salaries. Salaries are rather working for them. I should say money is working for them. So you need to have a certain mindset that you should not just always be looking forward to your salary. Right now, we are in the month of September, and I'm sure by now, people's August salaries have already finished. It has already gone, and they are looking forward to the month of September, to 25th September, to come quickly so that their salaries will be paid. As I speak, some people are only relying on their salaries. So anytime salary is finished, that is the end of their life. When salary is finished, they don't have money to buy anything. They don't have money to take care of themselves. Why? Because salary is gone. So whilst the rich are thinking about increasing their net worth all the time, the rich, the poor, and the others are always focusing on their salary. Salary is not a very good thing, because it is not a very good thing. And indeed, it is not a very good thing. You see, when you work for salary, salary is almost like I'm looking for somebody that I will cage for 1 month. At the end of the day, I'll give you something. See, when you work for salary all the days of your life, you will never be able to experience a certain dimension of joy and happiness. So make up your mind that you will increase your net worth instead of just focusing on salaries. Number three, the rich have multiple streams of income. The rich have multiple streams of income. Whilst usually, averagely, poor people have only one source of income or even none. Yeah, so whilst the rich are focusing on, like I said, money is where you should get to a level where money is working for you and not just the fact that you are working for money. If the 20 years of your life, 17 years of your life, 10 years of your life, you are still working for money, it is not a bad thing. You see, it's not bad. I'm not saying it is bad to work for money, but you should not think that working for money all the days of your life is a very good thing to do. No. At least after your first 15 years, you should now be thinking about how your money will work for you. So whilst the rich are thinking about money working for them, the poor are still thinking about working for money. Everybody should have at least 3 or 4 streams of income. Everybody. So anytime you are paid salary, think about how you use your salary to establish another business. How you use your salary to start another stream of income. Because that is the only way people get rich. So if you are thinking about getting rich, if you are thinking about building wealth, then one of the things you should have is that you should have multiple streams of income. Now, when you read Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1, there is a popular Ghanaian song that was picked from that scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. There's a popular Ghanaian song that says, you know, when you read that scripture, there is something else the Bible says in the second verse. The verse 1 says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. But when you read verse 2, verse 2 says, give a portion to 7 and also to 8. For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Now, you will enjoy it better when I read from another version. I'm reading the same scripture, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse number 1. But this time, I want to read from let me read from the NIV. The NIV says, ship your grain across the sea. After many days, you will receive a return. Then the second verse is, invest in 7 ventures. Yes, in 8. You do not know when disaster may come upon the land. So the Bible is telling you and I that we should even have 7. I was even saying have at least 3 to 4 streams of income. Ecclesiastes is saying that invest in 7 or 8 different ventures. Now, let me read the same verse 2 in another version. I want to read from the Good News Translation. The Good News Translation says, put your investment in several places, many places, even because you never know what kind of bad luck you are going to have in this world.
Now, let me jump to another one. Let me see if I have the Message Bible. I don't know whether there is a Message version for this.
But as I read, you will understand that working only for salary is not good. It's not good. So from today, I want you to begin to think about how you can have multiple streams of income. Think about what can you do? What again can you do? Am I talking to somebody? Yes. So that is how the rich people think. Number 4, they believe in giving. The rich believe and understand that they must be generous. But the poor, they cannot afford to give. And I added something here that not everyone who has money gives, but giving and generosity is a positive mindset of the rich. So, of course, we have some uncles and some aunties who have money. And anytime we went to them for support, they would tell you, oh, I don't have money. Meanwhile, there is money. They are stingy. But you see, that is a negative mindset. I'm talking about the positive mindset of the rich. Most generous, genuine rich people understand that anytime you give, you live. Anytime you stop giving, you stop living. And they understand that life is made up of contribution. You cannot withdraw when you have not deposited. So in this life, most rich people believe that once you give back to society, once you give back to the poor, once you give back to good causes, once you give back to good projects, you are going to get your return on investment. But the poor, even $1 or $1, they are afraid to give because they feel that once they give it, they are finished. But the rich believe that anytime you give, it's just a matter of time and that you are going to get it back. Number 5, the rich work for profit. I always tell people that if you are given a job opportunity and they say that you will be paid on commission, and then they give you another option to be paid a fixed income, most people on the average sense will go for fixed income. So they will tell you that, okay, if you sell at the end of the month, we are going to give you $5,000. Now, and they tell you that, however, if you want to do commission-based, if you get higher sales, you can be paid more than $5,000. A lot of people would go for the fixed income because they don't want to sweat, because they don't want any struggle. They don't want to go through the kind of hard work that people go through. So they say, oh, give us the fixed income. I think that whenever you are presented with commission, the commission is an opportunity to make good money. It's an opportunity to do exceedingly well. It's all about going back and do your work well and making sure that you have put the strategies well in place, and then you are going to get it. You'll be surprised that with commission, you can get a lot of money even than fixed incomes. Fixed income is a way of tying people and, you know, binding people to poverty. So whilst the rich are thinking about working for profits, the rest are just thinking about fixed incomes. Number 6, the rich continue to grow in learning while the poor stop learning when they get out of school. So my question is, what are you learning? What are you reading? It is said that if you want to hide anything from an African, put it in a book. And I think that most African Christians don't even like reading at all. In fact, Christians in Africa most Christians in Africa are very lazy. Most. They don't like reading books. They don't like studying. Just a few are able to read. I don't know how many of you here have read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. So you tell me, oh, Pastor, what you are saying is not true. But ask yourself, the Bible you have been holding and reading, professing to be a Christian, for the past 10 years of your life, you became a Christian, a decade, a whole decade. How many times have you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation? How many times? For some, we tried New Testament and we couldn't even finish. For some, we don't even know where Exodus is. So people are not reading. People are not reading. And when you are not reading, you are not growing. If you are not informed, you'll be deformed. People are not reading. People are not reading. And this is why most people are not getting there. One of the things about the rich, even if they can't, they don't know how to read, they get information. They have a way of getting information. So, people of God, I want you to understand that information is very important. And if you read, you become a great leader, because most great readers are great leaders, and most great leaders are great readers. So please get information. Get information, because we live in an information world. We live in an information world. It's very important that you understand this dimension of, you know, mindset we are talking about. You need to understand that the rich will continue to grow in learning. So when was the last thing you attended a conference like this? When was the last time you bought a book? When was the last time you even read a book? The whole year 2023, how many books have you read on money? How many books have you read on building and creating wealth? You are working for money, but you have no knowledge about money. You are spending 80% of your time every day in somebody's office. And at the end of the month, they pay you something called money. But yet, working for money, and the whole week, 5 days working for money. So it looks like 80% of your life, you are working for something called money, but you have not read even a single book about money. It means that you are not going to grow. But the rich are always looking for avenues to learn something new. Even if they don't have the academic knowledge, they are finding some way somehow to get knowledge. And it's very important. This will give you what I call personal development. Now, the seventh thing is that the rich take risk. Risk. Life is made up of risk. Everything is risky. Everything is risky. In fact, drinking water is even risky. Drinking water is even risky. Eating is risky. Drinking soup is risky. You can be eating and then the food will enter another, you know, tube. And then that is going to be very risky for you. People of God, life is made up of risk. That when you are going to board a flight, airplane, you are going to catch a flight, it's risky. Because you don't know the pilot, whether the pilot is depressed, whether the pilot has issues at home. How many times have you boarded a flight and you ask the pilot, sir, did you have any depression issues at home? Are you depressed? Do you have any emotional issues? Are you sure you are in the right state of mind? Do you have any mental problems? Nobody goes to ask the pilot anything, but yet we jump into the plane and we entrust our lives, entrust the pilot with our lives, believing that the pilot will take us where we need to go. So life is very risky. How many of us will board a bus and then you go to ask the bus, sir, when did you get your driver license? Are you sure you didn't get your driver license this year? How many people have you killed? How many accidents have you had? Nobody will ask the driver anything, but you go to sit in the bus and you still. So life is made up of it. There is no guarantee that you arrive where you are going. There is no guarantee. If it is not God, some of us, we don't know where we would have been, especially those of us in Africa. You understand what I'm talking about. You go to the hospital, There are doctors and nurses which are working. Some of them are very genuine. Some of them too, they don't even have any passion for the work they are doing. You go there, instead of giving you a certain drug, they will do something else. So people of God, there is risk in everything. You are sick, you want to go to hospital for treatment. But even at the hospital, if you are not careful, there's a lot of risk there. I have been an administrator of a hospital before, so I know what I'm talking about. So you see, life is made up of risk. Even the chair you are sitting on right now, as you are listening to me, the chair, the leg can break and you can fall down. Somebody went to sleep at 11 p.m. in Turkey, and there was an earthquake and something happened. You see, even in Morocco, we are told that last night there was an earthquake in Morocco. So you see, life is made up of risk. Everywhere you go, there is risk. That house you are staying in, the roof can fall off right now and fall on your head. There is risk everywhere. So if life is made up of risk and you are afraid to take risk, then not taking risk is even risky. Can I say this again? Not taking risk is very risky, because life is made up of risk. And the fact that I say that take risk does not mean you get up and you go and stand in the middle of the road and a car knocks you down, or you want to start a business, you just go for a certain loan and you just no. The rich does not just take any kind of risk. They take calculated and informed risk. So make sure that before you go for take any risk, you have calculated, you have taken your information, you have done your research, you have informed, and you know that where you are going is a good grounds. Am I talking to somebody? So as for the poor, they will never take any risk. You see, God gave you a business idea. It has been 3 years. It has been 1 year. It has been 3 months. You have not taken the risk to start the business. That is why your level will not change. That is why I will prophesy to you, but the prophecy will not manifest. There are many of you who receive prophecy, but you don't even take the risk to start anything. I remember that I was prophesied to that I will be an author of books. And I took the risk to take a pen and start something. I wrote nonsense anyway, but at the end of the day, today, I have books I have published. And I'm going to release another one before the end of the year. So you see, you should understand that poor people will never take risk, because they feel that it is too risky. You see, when you read the book of Proverbs, the Bible says that the poor man will say that he will not be able to go outside of the house, because he says there is a lion there, the lion will eat me. No, life is made up of risk, and only the rich will take calculated and informed risk. Now, then last, okay, the eighth one is that the rich embrace change. The rich embrace change, whilst the poor hate change. And I don't know, there's a story. One day I had a call from somebody. If the person is here, she'll forgive me, because I decided I'll talk about it. In fact, it's not a very bad example to give though. But you see, one day I had a call from somebody, and the person was telling me about, you know, their father is a doctor and she herself is a nurse, and she has a brother too who is a physician assistant or something like that. And they have a family business. The father started the business when he was young as a doctor, and he has been operating this business for a while now. But recently, I think I think that things have not been going well. And she was complaining to me, you know, sometimes you realize that not everything responds to prayer. Please take note. Not everything responds to prayer. There are some things that will never respond to prayer and fasting. So even if you do 40 days and 40 nights, you will still not get answers. You see, when this lady spoke to me, the Lord gave me wisdom. And I told her that the problem you are going through has nothing to do with witches or wizards or demons. Or this one, I don't even need to pray for you. I just gave them an advice. Embrace change. I told them, when your father was handling business, he was the only one doing the business. He was the only one. And at that time, there was nothing like Facebook. There was nothing like Instagram. There was nothing like technology. So after many years, now things have changed. The people who used to come to the hospital, they are on Instagram. The people who used to come to the hospital, some of them are giving birth and giving birth and giving birth. Now, these people are now on Facebook. They are on Twitter. They are on TikTok. They are everywhere. They are using technology. So now, the patients, the clients that are supposed to come to you, they have changed. And you yourself, you have not changed. The customers that bring the money have changed. Yet, the one looking for the money has not changed. And this is why people get poor. So, instead of embracing change and embracing technology, they are rather complaining and say that, oh, this one is difficult. No. You are having a business. Have you built a website for your business? You are having a product. You are selling a product. Have you built a website for your project? You don't have a website. You don't have an Instagram, an IG account. You don't have a TikTok account. You don't do any videos. You don't take any photos of your product. There is nothing. Yet you are trusting God that God will give you a global recognition. How can you go global when you don't embrace change? So one of the things you should understand is that the rich people have a way they think that anytime something changes, anytime the world changes, they must change. In fact, the world is always changing and they always try to adapt to the change. It's very important that if you really want to walk in that dimension, you must embrace change. Now you are in Africa. God has taken you to another place, another continent. You need to embrace change. Think about what you can do. It's very important. Number 9 is that the rich talk about ideas. Anytime rich people meet, they talk about ideas, how we can make more money. How can we make more money? They talk about the problems and how they can solve the problems. Meanwhile, when the poor people meet, they are always talking and complaining about their problems. Meanwhile, they complain and the money will not come. The problem is not solved. The rich talk about the problem and they talk about how to solve the problem. While the poor talk about the problem and they complain. They complain. So if you have 3 people around you and they come to you and they are always talking to you, and you realize that anytime they are chatting with you, they don't talk about business ideas, they don't talk about how to move into real estate, how to make money, how to talk about streams of income, then you should understand that such people are very, you know, they are people that, how do you call it? We have to be careful about such people. We just have to be careful about people, because rich people talk about ideas. When you meet rich people, you know, one day I came into contact with a very rich guy. He's based in US. I mean, he has some businesses in Ghana. And when we met, all we spoke about was money, business. I thank God that I am trying as much as possible not to be a one-way preacher who preaches Bible, but I am not balanced. I'm here because I feel that God can make you a millionaire. I am here because, when you talk about prayer meeting, you can get over 100 people joining. But when it comes to some things about money, you will not get 100 people, because not everybody can be a millionaire. I'm telling you, globally, according to statistics, there are 5% millionaires in the whole world. When I talk about millionaire, I'm talking about in proportion to the population of the world. They are less than 5% out of the 8 billion people we have. Less than 5% are millionaires. That is a cause to. So please, when you meet, be careful what you talk about. When people come around you and all they are talking about is problem, then you should know where their level is. But rich people, the mindset is, how do we solve a problem? Because money does not come to people who complain about problems. Money comes to people who solve problems. So if you are not ready to solve a problem, money is not ready to come to you. But when you are ready to solve a problem, people who solve problems are the people who enjoy money. Finally, the last thing is that the rich think long term, whilst the poor think short term. No rich person, especially genuine rich person, has a get rich quick syndrome. That is what I call it. I call it the get rich quick syndrome. GRQ syndrome. The GRQ syndrome is when these young men and young women of today, they think that money must, everything is fast food. So everything must happen very fast. You know, they think that, a lot has changed today in our 21st century. Many years ago, if you want to talk to somebody in this medium, it will be very difficult. Now, phones are wireless. Cooking is fireless. Our cars are keyless. Our food is fatless. Our dresses are sleeveless. Our society is cashless. Our youths are jobless. And our husbands are tireless. Our wives are also fearless. Our children are mannerless. Our ladies, I'll not go there. Our dreams are senseless. Our attitudes are careless. Our love these days is aimless. Our feelings are heartless. And even our sex is tasteless. Our education is valueless. Our work is endless. Our government is directionless. Sometimes even our presidents are clueless. Everything in our generation has become less, 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 less. And only that, our hope is endless. And we trust that God will take us to that dimension. So everybody wants everything fast. Everything must happen fast. They forget that anything that comes fast, when it is also living, it lives fast. Anything, if you get money very fast, I'm not saying fast money is bad, but when your money, it looks like you want, you go through the get rich quick strategy and your money comes by, when it is also going, it goes very fast. So long, rich people have long term. They think long term. They believe in consistency over time. So that business you are doing, if only you be consistent and keep on working at it, keep on doing your adverts, doing your promotions, doing your marketing, in within some short time, a long term, you realize that things will turn around. Consistency over time is the secret. That is my definition of long term. Long term for me is consistency over time. So long term is not just about doing, I mean, waiting for a long time, but it's about consistency over time. So if you want to go the mindset of the rich, they believe that whatever they have started is just a matter of time. Doing the thing, making sure they are consistent, at the end of the day, they are going to get whatever they want. So people of God, this brings me to the end of my presentation tonight. I believe that you have been blessed, and I believe that you have been empowered. I believe that you have been informed. And I believe that your mindset has been influenced and you have built capacity in one way or the other for wealth creation. There are many, many things I want to share with you on Saturdays like this. And these Saturdays like this is not for everybody. Dawn prayers are for prayer, but Saturdays like this are empowerment. There are days where we talk about wealth creation, we talk about transforming mindset, we talk about many, many things that we need to do, how to staff your business, how entrepreneurship. There are many, many things we want to deal with, how to generate business ideas, you know, the different types of businesses. We're talking about, you know, the 20 questions to answer before going into business, 20 questions everyone must answer before you go into business. Talking about the 10 excuses people give for not becoming entrepreneurs, and many, many, many things, understanding business and how to generate business ideas, and a lot of things. Talking about capital, how to raise your capital for your business, how to sustain your business, and why businesses fail and the way out, and things like that. So this kind of things, people attend conferences, they pay a lot of money before they are able to get it. But I believe that it is worth it sharing with the people I pray with, so that apart from spiritual empowerment, you are also economically empowered.
The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me pray for you now. Father, I thank you for the lives of everyone here. And I pray for everyone that, Lord, you give us the power. You said you have given us the power to create the world. Let this power be activated in us. Let this power be activated. Everyone today, tonight, I pray that the power of ideas, the power to solve problems, the power to identify issues, the power to add value, God, give us this wisdom. Give us the wisdom that beginning from today, we will not just establish and be connected to salary. We will not just live our lives on salary, but we will have ideas to create and build wealth. Let this be our portion. Let this be our portion. I pray for every single person that give us just some ideas. Ideas that can transform our lives forever. Ideas that can make us become millionaires in your kingdom. Even billionaires in the name of Jesus. Give us ideas that our business, our products and services will go beyond the shores of our continent and even into other nations. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us tonight. Thank you for giving us a positive mindset about riches. Thank you for the transformation. Thank you for unlocking potentials in us. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen.